Look, if you're thinking about starting a cash practice, or you just started one and you're making less than $5,000 a month, you need to take a serious look at the Gym PT Blueprint. I put this course together for you. The PT is trying to do his own thing, that doesn't want to have to work for somebody else seeing 30 people a day and hating their job. And I did this so that you can skip all that time and wasted energy and money that it takes to learn things the hard way and follow a proven system that has helped over 100 cash practice owners start, run, and grow successful practices in the last 9 months alone. Guys, this is something that can significantly help your business. It's just up to you to decide if you're willing to invest in yourself. Head over to drdannymatei.com, go to the products, and check out the Gym PT Blueprint right there. So here's the question. How do physical therapists like us, who don't want to see 30 patients a day, who don't want to work home health, and have real student loans, create a career and life for ourselves that we've always dreamed about? This is the question, and this podcast is the answer. My name is Danny Matei, and welcome to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. What's going on, guys? Doc Danny here with the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. Today, we've got my digital friend and somebody I just keep like sort of like pseudo hearing about through friends of friends that eventually we'll meet in person. But Carrie Pagliano out of Washington, D.C. is jumping on the podcast today with us. So, Carrie, thanks so much for spending some time with me.
Thanks for having me. I feel like, you know, we definitely need to meet in person one of these days.
Yeah, 100%. It's I can't even remember the total number of people that I feel like, you know, have like connected us. It's got to be at least a half dozen at this point.
Exactly.
Sort of like, exactly. Was that 7 degrees of separation with like Kevin Bacon?
No, actually I can do the Kevin Bacon 7 degrees. Back when I was in PT school, I was a tech where Kevin Bacon's dad was working out. And so now I can actually do the 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon. But you and I think we're actually probably more up to like 10 or 12. So
yeah, it's a lot. But you know, this is going to be a fun one because, you know, you've got kind of unique, practice and you've got a lot of experience as well, which I think is interesting. A lot of PTs that I talk to that are driving towards a cash practice, they are, typically sort of like within maybe 5 years out of school, 3 to 5 years out of school. And you're a little bit different because you had a lot more experience in that and a lot more kind of unique skill set, And I'm very interested to kind of chat with you about the transition. So first of all, how has it been making the transition from being employed to being self-employed?
You know, there's some parts that have been more challenging. Obviously, the learning curve for the business piece has been really steep, but I think that part has actually been really liberating. I love to learn new things, and obviously, I've been learning a lot. But you know, where I was before here, I was at Georgetown University Hospital for about 11 years prior to this, but I had been in a group private practice before that. So it wasn't unfamiliar to me. But I was essentially able to operate a concierge practice inside, a hospital-based system for probably about 8 or 9 years out of the 11. And so, there's certain things that haven't changed. And then there's a lot of things that have changed. So it's been a good transition flexibility wise, with my family. It's been great. And then my office is 3 blocks from my house. So the commute is awesome. I no longer have to go across the bridge to DC. I just stay in Arlington now, but the bad side is I don't have as much podcast time. So I'm catching up on your podcast. So
yeah, but that's what a great trade out.
Yeah.
You know, like that's awesome. 3 blocks. I mean, that's just, you get so much of your life back.
Yes.
And from what I've been told, DC is very much a bridge city. Like if you have to cross a bridge, people are really not willing to do that.
It is. Yeah.
Do you see most of your patients that are really like close to where your office is?
Well, it depends. I mean, I've been in DC. I moved here a couple months before 9/11. So actually one of your other guests, Megan Brown, she and I spent 9/11 together. And we actually still do a lot of stuff together now, but when, you know, I've been here so long that I've been known for a while. And so I have some patients that will cross the Beltway to come over to Arlington. I have some patients that live down the street from me and our kids go to the same school. It's really been a nice blend. But when I, you know, when I was over at the hospital across the bridge, you know, more than half of my patients were coming from Virginia. and less than 25% of my patients were in-house referrals. And so when you start to look at that, then you start to wonder why you're both crossing a bridge, and wonder why you're both doing this. So that was a little of the motivation to try and stay on this side. But I had been here before. I had been in Arlington in a private practice for about 4 years before I was at the hospital. So I was a little backwards in that I went private practice, then hospital, and then back. But it's been a good journey. I've learned something every step of the way.
So this setup that you had in the hospital, I'm interested. You kind of were able to kind of work as a sort of a concierge role within the hospital system. Yeah. So what did that job look like? That sounds interesting.
Well, it's funny. I actually picked it up as PRN there was really unique. It basically was you can work these hours, and as long as you fill it, that's what you get paid for. The downside is obviously you get paid whatever the PRN rate is. So, you know, if you had a PRN that's a new grad, I was getting paid the same as them. But I came in just working Friday afternoons, picking up extra money for our wedding. And I was working at a private practice here in Arlington at the time. And then it was time for a change. And I separated with the other practice and was able to immediately go up to 3 days a week over at the hospital. Stayed PRN for a couple of years just because I enjoyed the flexibility, and then went full time. For a couple of years until I was pregnant with my oldest. And around that time, we actually started looking at starting a residency, which ironically, we ended up starting after I had my second child. And she's turning five in a couple of weeks. So I was able to have management that supported me growing a practice that they really didn't have. They didn't have that content area. They'd had it, you know, several years prior that the therapist had left. And it really just said, you know what, go do what you want. And there was interest in growing residency. So I developed a residency, had it accredited, did the curriculum myself. I kind of call that my third child. and then with that, we had one resident go through who was actually PRN as well. So both of us were working PRN, and that was an 18-month residency. And then unfortunately, the department just wasn't necessarily able to support a full or part-time position for the resident. And so the commitment started to diminish, and you know, my interests were starting to change. Management had changed a little bit, and I really just saw opportunities kind of elsewhere to get my skills valued, do a lot with the section of Women's Health. I'm president right now. And then finally got to the point where I was like, okay, well, something needs to change here. From a concierge perspective there, I was able to manage my own schedule. I was able to kind of manage how many new evals I got per week, how many follow-ups, kind of manage the schedule myself, which was different than outpatient. Really worked my own wait list. So a lot of things that people do in private practice, you know, run their own referral system, I was able to do. So that shifting over was very easy for me to do. Whereas somebody that works in normal hospital base, that's something that's not typical. So really having the chance to develop, kind of that practice management has been crucial for my transition.
You know, and I think that, that's just an amazing opportunity to kind of learn that, because that's something that's really challenging whenever you go into, a cash, or, you know, fee for service setting. And at this point now, so when was your practice started, and how many available hours per week do you currently have? Because I know you're still sort of trying to, you know, obviously not have like an incredibly full week
right.
with your kids.
Yeah, exactly. So I had shifted after I had my oldest when I was at the hospital, I shifted down to 2 days a week. So I've pretty much work Tuesday, Thursday, anywhere between, you know, 14 to 16 patients a week for the past 7 years. And you think, okay, well, that's not that much. But my involvement in Women's Health section has increased tremendously. I was doing some teaching on the side. Another great thing when I was at Georgetown is I got to work with one of my buddies who he's trained in Australia. He's actually now the PT for the Philadelphia 76ers. So really building up that skill set for me kind of fulfilled that learning, that growing. And so now shifting over here, I feel really confident in keeping up a similar schedule because the demands are still the same. I do a little contract work with a local health system, getting them to start up a pelvic PT program. And then, I mean, it's kind of a lot of little things. I joke around that I'm kind of like my own gig economy over here. I have a lot of different jobs. I just got appointed to an NIH pelvic floor disorders network position as a sole PT on that. So there's a lot of little things here and there. So patient care makes up still about 2.5 days a week. Summers drop back a little bit because I'm trying to stay home with the kids about 2.5 days. Today's my admin day. Because I'm trying not to do as much admin with them and try and be as present with them as I can. But as you well know, it's hard to shut that off. You're constantly thinking about what to do, and, you know, section work never really quiets down either. So,
no, I mean, and there's some unique frustrations. I think if you were to ask, you know, Ashley and I currently, you know, this being July 25th, our kids go back to school in a week. We're kind of ready for them to go, you know, like not to sound bad, but like, you know, the summer, like we've done our traveling and we spent a ton of time with them. We probably get to spend more time with our kids than most people do just because we have a lot of control over our own schedule. But you know, I mean, that's one of the pros for sure of the self-employed model, even for you having this sort of like part-time schedule, you know, you can always decide if you want to take a week off, you just block your schedule. And then, I mean, you sort of have to catch up on the wait list people that you have, but you can take, you know, as much time off as you want. And if you can get to a point where you charge a price point that allows you to be really kind of selective of how many hours you work,
exactly.
In many cases, you can replace a full-time income with part-time work and be able to spend more time with your kids. You know, at this point, I mean, like, have you transitioned to where those days that you're in clinic are pretty much full?
I walked into this as soon as I opened my space. I walked in full and I've stayed full. So to backtrack a little bit, like about a year ago, honestly, actually, interestingly enough, about the time that you launched your podcast, one of my PT school best friends, Lauren Sock, she was like episode number 3 or something like that. And I started
to she's awesome.
Yeah. I listened to it because she was on it. And then it was really timely because I knew something needed to change. But I mean, I graduated in 99. If any of you out there graduated around that time, you know that that's about the time that the bottom dropped out of the market. I mean, my first job was working home care in West and North Philly. Not exactly what I planned. So, you know, the idea of opening a practice from a risk perspective for somebody who's been out as long as I have, plus you've got a family and kids, it's, you know, it's a little daunting. But, you know, the more I started to listen to podcasts and kind of talk to people, I had a friend, he's like, you can't just dip your toe in. And I said, well, yeah, I can. And I did. And while I was still kind of working at Georgetown, my regular schedule in the fall, I started seeing some patients on my off days, just on the side here in the neighborhood. If they were, you know, in Arlington, I would drive to see them. And, you know, my first job was home care, ironically. So it all kind of comes back around again. And it really helped me kind of iron out, I didn't want to work on people's floors anymore. I'm too old for that. And B, I started to figure out kind of the paperwork finance side of things. You know, I did want a table. I did want a space. I did want some sort of online scheduling system so I didn't have to do all that side stuff. So dipping my toe in, which you can do, by the way, was enough for me to say, yeah, I think I'm all in, then start looking for space and so on. So, but from a time management perspective, I mean, it's been interesting. And I've really had to kind of hold myself to, I wanted to do this because I wanted to be there more for my kids. And I surprisingly really have to be strict with myself about when I'm with the kids, that's exactly what I'm doing. But it's challenging from a childcare perspective, balancing that and whatnot. You know, I like to see early morning hours, sure. So trying to find students or local people to help out in the morning. But you know, you can do it. It's just not necessarily the straightforward easy path.
Well, I think if you really look at it as, you know, sort of, this is something that I always talk to Kelly Starrett about, is sort of this idea of they make most of their decisions, or really all their business decisions, based on, is this allow us to spend more meaningful time with our family? You know, and if it doesn't, and it doesn't matter how much money that could equate to, the answer is no. Because I think once you get to a certain point, and some people are just frankly broke, and I get that. Like, look, I've been there. It's not fun. It just, you know, it's coming out of school, or not making any money, or being in school and not making any money. Like, that sucks. So sometimes you just have to, you know, make some money. But once you get to a point, and it, especially for you, if you can set your schedule up to where you have a pretty high price point and, you know, let's say 15, you know, visits a week, like, in many cases, that's much better than you can make working for somebody else from a standpoint of what you can generate in a month with low overhead practice. And I think that, you know, it's for moms in particular, which we can get into this Facebook group you guys have here in a second. I'd like to chat about that. But for moms in particular, like, one of the first cash practices that I ever heard of, I was actually in the Army, and my father-in-law's friend, who is the soccer coach for the high school where he's an ROTC instructor, his wife was a PT that, very similar situation. They had three kids. She wanted to stay at home with them. Instead of doing PRN work, she started basically just seeing people in a one-on-one sort of like PT slash Pilates hybrid on the side. And that got busy enough to where 2 days a week, she would see 7 to 8 people. And, you know, she was charging, I think at the time, like $150 an hour. And she's, this is, in Charlotte. And, you know, it's, that's great. That's a huge amount of money that you can generate in 2 days compared to working 5 days for somebody else and having a very restrictive schedule. So, you know, is there anything else you found? Like, I mean, obviously juggling, it's sort of tough, but, is there anything else, like advice, for instance, for parents that are trying to go this route that you found, you know, going into practice for yourself?
Sure. I mean, there's a couple things for me that I think, again, women and moms, I think we second guess ourselves. We're trying to, that whole idea of balance, it's just garbage, by the way. It's whatever it is
on that day.
Yeah, no, it's nothing. I mean, there's a bunch of us, there's a little hashtag Mama Cape Mafia. Like, some days your super mom cape is flying high. Sometimes it's, you know, caught in the car door. Sometimes you left it at the cleaners. There's some days that are better than others, but, I mean, for me, I think it's just taking an honest look at what you actually have going for you. I mean, for me on paper, it looked like it would work, because I have been here for so long, because I have a lot of referrals that were in-house, because, I have a strong standing in the community, and I know you've talked about that was a deficit for you when you first went to Atlanta. But for me, to have so many connections, and then also a really big thing for me too, is APTA is just down the street for me. So I've really had some amazing opportunities. I'm a media representative for them now and a spokesperson for APTA. So, I mean, it helps get my voice out there more, my activity, all the things that I have volunteered with and done, all those things work towards your brand. And I think over time, that's something that I've unknowingly developed, is, you know, having a reputation in a lot of different communities. I mean, my mainstays right now are public community, I think, moms and PT, and then my newer one is prenatal, postpartum, pelvic, especially in CrossFit community. It's being really honest with yourself about actually where you do have a good, unique voice. But I think also too, looking at what your resources are. Like, I can't do this without my husband. And this is when I get all like teary and emotional. And he's like, why don't you do that with me? Is you like do when you tell other people? But I mean, there was never a question, you know, when I said, you know, I think I want to do this. There was never a question when we talked about space, when, you know, he's my IT guy, he's my handyman, he fixes, you know, pretty much everything. Like, that's the other piece of it too. And it's not lost on me that because he has the benefits in the family, that I'm able to do this. I also have in-laws that are close. I have a good support system with our students and local childcare and whatnot. So, I mean, look at your community around you. If you have that support, it starts to become a no-brainer. And I have a lot of friends, especially actually pediatric PTs, that they see a lot of patients on the side and they kind of do it under the table. And I said, well, why don't you make it legit? And there's this mental barrier of kind of putting a roof over your head and putting roots down. And for me, you know, I always was nervous about, you know, having brick and mortar. It's a commitment. I like to do a lot of different things. And, you know, there was just enough things on paper to say, you know what, this is where you're meant to be. Not to say that this is where I'll always be, but I think just being the biggest recommendation I would have is look at yourself objectively. Don't judge. Don't think you can just do this or just do that. you probably have a lot further reach than you have. And moms are pillars in the community. I mean, moms make the healthcare decisions. So if you're already in that community anyway, you're far ahead of many practitioners.
Dude, that is 100% accurate. It's, you know, there's the city where our office is here in Atlanta, and Lawrence as well, and Decatur. There's a lot of kids there. There's a lot of families. And it's interesting, like, you're 100% on with that. Like, the moms are the ones that will make the appointment for exactly. the husband or the kids in many cases. Because usually, like, the husband, his leg will have to be, like, falling off before he'll actually see. And they manage the kids' schedule. And you know, and the thing is, like, and they're working in many cases as well. You know, and my wife's a perfect example of this. Like, you know, she sounds more like your husband. You know, she handles a lot of the operational side of our mm-hmm. business. She actually all of the operational side of our business. She really runs our practice. I basically, you know, help get people in the door. And I see some of them at this point. I'm really only seeing like 10 to 12 hours sure. a week and doing some of the other things. But what's fun is the ability to do a little bit of everything, right? Like, I don't think it's out of the question for anybody. And, you know, if you are getting kind of burned out with the same thing over and over again, like, that's not abnormal. I think that's very natural. And something like, I don't know, like a podcast, like if you want to, this is a perfect example. Like if you want something that you can do on the side, and I'm not necessarily saying you're going to make money on this, by any means, like initially, but you could, but from a mentorship standpoint, one of the reasons I started my first podcast, Doc and Jock Podcast, because I wanted to talk to strength and conditioning and rehab professionals all over the country, and record it. But I wanted to ask my questions. Like, I want to get mentorship. You know what I mean? Like, totally. And I got to talk to some people that I never would have had a chance to chat with, you know, or, you know, or respond to an email. But just because you have a platform, it's great. But it gives you also an outlet to do something slightly different. So it sounds like you've got your, you know, you have these little buckets of different things you do. What's your favorite thing to do?
It probably depends on the day. I mean, I think probably the coolest thing, like you said, I know myself enough to know that I like to do a lot of little different things, but they're all related. So, I mean, I think my favorite is when I get to do stuff with my friends in the community. So, I mean, take my CrossFit gym. I started CrossFit 2 years ago, was scared to death. I've got my own issues, diastasis. I had continence issues, SI issues. I had labral surgery 11 years ago, and I was scared to death to go in there. And for a year, I didn't tell my coach, I didn't tell anybody that I was a PT, because I just wanted to go in, put my head down and learn. And finally this year, I kind of outed myself a little bit. And what's fun is when I get to take the stuff that I know how to do really well and help my neighbors. And, you know, I do a little bit of pediatric continence and help my neighbors' kids. And that is the thing for me that is so much fun. But I think one of the other things too is to be able to connect people. I love making connections. I think there was somebody, I was on your Facebook page, or the PT Entrepreneur page this morning. He was asking some question, and he's a PT in DC in CrossFit community. And I was like, hey, we should know each other. And I think that's the beauty of social media right now is and it's that abundance mindset that you talk about. Like, there is more than enough to go around. I mean, Arlington, you can't walk 10 totally. Feet without tripping over a stroller. I'm not even a mile from a local hospital where I'm friends with like four or five pelvic PTs. Like, there's enough to go around and so many people that we can help. And if I can connect people to somebody that will help them, even if it's not me, you know, or if I can do it, you know, across the country and help them connect them to somebody that's in like Seattle or something like that, that's where it's really fun to do.
Well, it also comes down to you're developing long-term relationships, right? I talk to our staff about this all the time, you know, in terms of, you know, if somebody doesn't belong here, like, they shouldn't be here, and we should find them the right place to go. And even if we have somebody, like, we always, like, if somebody comes back for a follow-up and they're just, you know, not making the progress we want and we need to refer them out, the visit where we're reevaluating and talking to them about next options, like, we never charge anybody for that visit. It's always like, look, we're not progressing in the plan that we want. Like, this is, I may have spent 30 minutes to an hour with you, but like, we're not going to charge you for this because we're having to send you somewhere else and you're going to have to incur some other cost because we weren't able to make the change we thought we could to avoid this next transition. And that one decision, that this was years ago, I just decided to do this because I don't know. I just didn't think it was, I didn't think it was appropriate to charge them for that. But like that, that one decision, we get literally patients every month from people that we have really strong relationships with that understand that like, we're going to make a long-term decision for them based on what's best for them. And it's little things like that in your practice or in your business and the culture of that, that you develop that really help align yourself with the people that you want to work with. And they're, look, they're going to be here for a long time and they have kids and they have friends and they have family.
Exactly.
And the more you can do like what you're talking about,
yep.
Those are just the little things with like local relationship development. And I think the other big thing, and you came up before social media in terms of getting started with physical therapy. A lot of physical therapy is young physical therapists. They don't know any different. They've always had it. And the idea that you can reach a massive amount of people digitally is true. The depth of relationship that you can create digitally versus in person, or even, you know, talking like this is totally different.
Yes.
And I would say for you, like you probably have like a superpower with that, with people, if you're a natural connector, I mean, that's big. Like where have you noticed in your community, since you're, you know, pretty connected, mm-hmm. where do you get most of the new patients that come to see you?
Oh gosh, it really ranges. And again, it's that abundance mindset. I mean, it might be from, you know, my neighbor down the street. It might be, I've actually started to get patients off of Instagram, which is really interesting to me.
That is interesting.
And it's, you know, somebody knows somebody else, or they follow, like Julie Weeb or Brianna Bottles or something like that. And they're looking for somebody who does CrossFit in their area and they come find me. So, I mean, it's, or it can be from, you know, practices that just do orthopedics and don't do women's health. It kind of comes from everywhere. But at the same time, too, I mean, the other piece in this is I also teach at Marymount University. And I you know, you speak about the students and, you know, them trying to figure out that. I tell them all the time, I said, I actually don't envy you guys because you're trying to find yourselves, but you're also trying to manage what your online presences and what your brand is going to be and all of that. So, I mean, those of us have come up and had the time and the space to figure that out, not having to worry about what that is or what the footprint of that is. I don't envy them at all. But I mean, for me, I think because I've always been really open and transparent about, I mean, you know, anybody that works with me in you know, APTA and women's health section, I have kids, I have to work around that schedule, but that's also the beauty of what I do as a professional. I mean, if I have patients that come in and they don't do their home exercise program and they're a parent, I say, I want you to come in. Part of my job is to help you figure out how this fits into your life. And I understand that piece of it. So it's not only where you get your referrals from, it's, you know, kind of those different parts of your life, all kind of jumble together to make up who you are and what your voice is. And for me, it just happens that they all, and I'll be honest, it totally wasn't calculated at all. I wish I was that smart, but, you know, when you get all these good parts of your life, like, you know, yoga and CrossFit and things that I love to work with those patients, those are things that I've found on my own because of my own postpartum journey. So my referral sources are extremely varied just because, you know, I have so many different kind of touch points in the community, not only locally, but kind of all over the place.
Well, you know, you talk about CrossFit and getting back into that, and it's an intimidating place. I mean, I remember the first CrossFit gym I went to. I was like super nervous. Like I remember the first combatives course I did in the Army. I was like real nervous because I'd never done like grappling before. And the first time I went to a CrossFit gym, I felt the exact same way. I felt like, okay, I'm going to fight somebody here. Like I didn't know.
Oh, and
you know,
the smell is intimidating. The music, it's like
loud. Most people don't it depends on the gym, but half the time they're, you know, most people are like half naked and, and it is intimidating for sure.
Yeah.
And the training methodology, it really depends on the coach and the gym that you go to, you know,
but
I will say the one thing that is consistent across the board is, you know, there are a lot of, there's a lot of people that can benefit from the skill set that you have, you know, and understanding how to control, you know, their body and their spine and pelvis in particular during some of these loaded movements and fast loaded movements like double unders and barbell work. It's very challenging, you know, so in an RPT here, Jackie Varnum does a lot of work with that. She helps as an instructor with Anthony Lowe.
Oh yeah.
She basically teaches the strength and conditioning side, teaches the barbell movements, to PTs at those, at those courses. And I mean, that it, I've just been surprised at how like happy people are to find somebody like that. So have you noticed in that community in particular,
absolutely,
that you just get crazy, just compliance?
It's funny how it's kind of come up. I mean, even in, I was just telling somebody the other day, even in the pelvic community, CrossFit is like the new cool thing that people want to treat CrossFitters. But the ironic thing in all of it, it's just like anything else, you know, people wanted to treat runners for a long time. If you aren't a runner if you're not a CrossFitter, you're missing part of the equation here. And for me, I mean, I actually got introduced to this from Anthony Lowe as well. And, you know, I went into it just, okay, I need to learn about this. This is a community, you know, that I needed to figure out. And, Anthony has a great TA that works with him, who used to be an airborne ranger, I think, Richard Fly, and best communicator I've ever met in my entire life. And he read me. He's like, I mean, he read my fear, my questioning. And by the end of it, I was like, crap, I'm going to have to do this now. Because the scaling piece of it for me was so, it just went along with PT so well. And there was such an opportunity and this was shortly after the whole CrossFit video where the host interviewed two CrossFitters. One was a patient and the other was a OBGYN. And the GYN's like, oh, yeah, it's totally fine to leak when you do double unders. And then, of course, the whole pelvic community just, you know, collective forehead slap. Yeah. But awesome. I mean, you can't complain about stuff and just, you know, bitch and complain. Like, you need to go in and learn and understand. And instead of just telling somebody to stop, and this is where, you know, I totally appreciate Anthony, is you can't just take somebody, the second I tell somebody to stop, they're not going to listen to me anymore. And I probably would do the same thing. So figure out where they are and where they need to go and bridge that gap. And that's what I think we've lost as PTs. And I've heard many people talk about this. We treat either acute or super chronic, but you know, especially in the postpartum population, PTs are really great at, you know, that first, you know, 6 to 12 week postpartum, and which is really nice with the ACOG new guidelines that just came out to recognize the fourth trimester, which is awesome. But where's bridging that gap to, okay, I want to do full on, you know, RX in the gym, or I want to go run, you know, a 10 miler. And we have that skill set to bridge that gap, but we choose not to own it. And I think that's where I've really enjoyed kind of working more like strength and conditioning coaches. They know their stuff. You know, my CrossFit coach, first of all, she's teeny tiny redhead. She would totally kick your butt in a corner. She's a regional athlete, scared the death out of me when I saw her picture on our website. Couldn't be smarter, couldn't be nicer, couldn't be more ready to help me figure out where I was and continue to work with that. And if you have relationships with coaches like that, but then also say, hey, you know what? It's okay to not make jokes about, okay, we're going to do double unders. Everybody's got to go to the bathroom. To be able to say, you know what? I know somebody and their office happens to be next door and there is something you can do about this. Or, you know what? You're having, you know, leakage or vulnerability at the bottom of your back squat. There's something we can do about it. And I think that's where there was a bit of a gap in the CrossFit community is recognizing it. It's getting better, but it's one thing recognizing it. It's another thing trusting somebody to be able to handle it. And when you have two communities that can work together, and I think, you know, it's happening that way now, at least more, it's good. But when you have one community is like, you know, CrossFit sucks, you're just going to get injured, and you're not going to build bridges and help people that way. I mean, I told my GP that I started doing CrossFit and I haven't felt better in my life. And he's like, oh, there's a lot of injuries. No, I had FAI surgery 11 years ago. This is the first time I've been pain-free. I can wear heels. I can walk. I can walk around conferences and feel great because of added load.
And you're, well, it just, and it sounds like you're in a really good gym, you know, and that's some of the challenge sometimes is there's the variance of skill in a CrossFit coach. It can be huge because it can be somebody that just likes to work out or somebody that has a master's degree, you know, like there's a guy that we do some work with here that has a gym or is a head coach at a gym down the road from us, you know, and he's got a master's degree in exercise physiology. He comes in talking to me about, you know, internal rotation with the deadlift and pelvic, you know, movement associated with that. And I'm like, dude, you're on another level. Not only that, but like the people that I know that really need, you know, somebody that is not necessarily just going to yell at them to do more burpees. It's also a great, we're a great referral to him, you know, and because like he's genuinely really good at what he does. And it's good to really be able to have that symbiotic relationship back and forth with, helping their business. And then, you know, we're the right fit for certain people that, that, that they see. But what I've found, you know, and I'm sure you probably see the same thing in the CrossFit community in particular, you know, there's certain people that just don't care. They'll just like, you know, deal with, some leakage. They don't care, but what they care about is performance. And, you know, it's just sales, right? It's like, how do you pitch this to the right person? Like maybe certain people don't care, but what they do care is about adding 20 pounds to their, you know, back squat. Okay, cool. Well, if we have better control, you know, of the bottom of that power cylinder of your abdomen, like you're going to be able to produce more force to your hip. And now all of a sudden you have their attention. They're like, oh, okay, my squat will go up. That sounds cool. And like I said, Jackie, you know, the one of the PTs for us, like she does a great job of this. She can like read people really well and figure out what is motivating them. Cause really the goal is for them just to be healthier, you know, and move better. But, what a nice, little location. Yeah. Oh, hey, next door, we can solve this problem. It's so convenient.
Exactly. And the other piece of it too, I think, is there's just this, there's this confusion about what we are, not only, you know, in the public as pelvic PTs, but also within just the general PT community, because we're behind closed doors. And so people just think everything is internal. And in my training, I came from ortho PT land first, then did pelvic PT on the side. And then one day I realized, I'm like, I'm an idiot. It's just orthopedics in a warm, dark place. Like they're really the same thing. So I treat everything all together, and then you throw pressure systems in and breath and all that good stuff. You know, I have a friend, she, that I work out with, she's a West Point grad, couple of kids, really great mover. And she was having some vulnerability at the bottom of her back squat. And she's like, yeah, you know, I need to go see my gynecologist. They wanted me to see a urogyn, you know, step upon step upon step. And I said, well, why don't we just look at your breath pattern? And you know, we were able to change it within 3 or 4 reps. And I mean, for her to even come over and have to have an internal exam or anything like that, you just don't need it lots of times. And, you know, I'm fortunate I've got real-time ultrasound here. So, you know, if people don't want internal, we can look at movement strategies and, you know, are you recruiting the way you think with that? But I mean, I think an understanding of it doesn't always have to be this massive commitment. You have to see a bunch of physicians before you can get to PT, and then it's going to be 1,000,001 appointments. Like we fixed it literally right then and there. So now she feels comfortable saying, well, can you take a peek at me when I do this? And, you know, I have no problem doing that because I, you know, it buys me credibility in that community too, that I'm not this barrier. You know, it's not, you have to hit a certain threshold of deficit or whatnot to have to get some help. So it's just making us more approachable.
Yeah. It's a branding. It's just a knowledge issue, right? Like I tell people all the time, like it's just most people, if you said, okay, what's an orthopedic surgeon do? They know, right? What does a physical therapist do? No idea. Right. Like my grandma goes there, like maybe after surgery go there, you know, like, but there's so many other facets to that.
Exactly.
You know, that we can do. I mean, we really don't even use the term at all. Like the name of our practice is Athlete's Potential. It literally didn't say physical therapy in it one bit. And it looks like a gym. You know, our practice looks like a gym. So, you know, I mean, it's just a matter of education and the right people. And the cool thing, and this is probably what you found with the amount of time that you've been able to develop relationships, is we see so many people that are quick to come see us if they have something fairly minor or, you know, that's kind of stopping them from doing something. Like we get those so fast now as patients that come back for something different, that it's great because we've developed that trust with them. They now know, okay, instead of me going here, and here, I'll skip the line and just go to the person that's going to either tell me I'm not in the right place or, solve the problem. And it's going to be way more time efficient and cost effective than me bouncing around, you know, to these other providers. And the other thing I tell people too, and it's like, look, everybody sort of has their own bias. Obviously we're very biased towards physical therapy. Well, Right. Surgeons are biased towards things that they get reimbursed for, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. They go to school for a long time to learn how to do things. But, you know, I know plenty of trigger happy surgeons that I would never send somebody right. to unless they need a surgery. Then that's the perfect person to go to, you know, and so just them understanding that the medical system is not this infallible, you know, group of people that can, we're all honestly, it's all our best guesses. I tell other people that all the time, like medicine changes, research changes. Currently, this is my best guess, but I do not know 100% for sure this is exactly what's going on. Your body's complex, you know, and more than anything, I think that develops a lot of trust with people as well.
Yeah, and especially the area of pelvic health. I mean, how we treated when I first got into this, you know, 17 years ago, 18 years ago, completely different. I mean, we're looking at this from, and this is actually why it's fun, is because there's a lot of research that still needs to be done. We're looking at this from a biomechanical standpoint, a hormone standpoint, urology, gynecology, colorectal, pain science, neuro. I mean, there's so many different facets to this. Plus you throw movement on top of it and all the different things you can do with that. But I mean, just making us approachable in that you have a family PT, you know, or you have that person that you know to go to when something comes up, as opposed to I can only go if I have a script from my doctor or that sort of thing. Right. So it's really kind of changing our accessibility and you know, that's where, you know, all the work that APTA has done to get, you know, direct access and all this other stuff is so been fantastic.
Talk to me a little bit about your PT Mompreneurs Facebook group.
Sure. So it all, you know, again, great ideas, who knows where it's going. So Lauren Sock is a very, very good friend of mine. We've known each other way too long. She was a year behind me in PT school at University of Sciences in Philadelphia. And she started her practice, I guess, three to four years ago. And, you know, she's always been like, hey, you know, you got to do private practice, so on and so forth. And we've taken very different paths. She very much knew she wanted to do entrepreneurship. I've kind of dabbled in more hospital-based and you know, APTA women's health section content sorts of things over the years. And then I ended up doing a presentation at CSM a couple years ago with some good friends of mine, Jenny Gablesberg, Karen Brandon, and Cecily DiStefano. We're bi-coastal and just talking about moms and PT, and we got some great feedback on that. And the more I kind of started to dabble in this entrepreneur space, there's so much potential for moms in this space, because it can be whatever you want it to be. It can be, you know, working out of your house. It can be, you know, a mobile business. It can be, you know, 1 or 2 days a week. There's so many options about what that looks like. And having a community that understands business, but then also understands, you know, when your nanny called out and your daughter has a fever, so there's no place for her to go, and you're playing rock, paper, scissors with your husband over who's going to work that day. Like, honestly, you know, I mean, there's a whole different, you know, skill set that comes with that. But Lauren and I said, hey, okay, let's throw this together and see what happens. And we've had the Facebook group PT Mompreneurs on up for just a couple of months now, and I think we're up over 300 to 350 members now. And really, honestly, sharing information, everything from, you know, understanding SEOs all the way up to how do you organize your kid calendar with your work calendar, and what's the best organization that works for you, or, you know, how do you figure out how to be most present, you know, when you're at work and also when you're at home. So, I mean, could it be applicable to guys? Yeah, but at the same time, you know, we have our own issues. So, but it's been a lot of fun, really connecting moms that we have similar pain points. So it's been fun.
Well, I think it's a great idea. You know, I mean, you know, my wife currently she's getting, took her car to get some like preventative maintenance. So my kids are on the best babysitter iPads upstairs. And surprisingly, I thought for sure they're going to bust in here and yell at me. They haven't yet. But we're not done yet. They might.
I was
going
to say they're really good timers. Usually they've got about like 60 to 70 minutes and then they
turn. True. And I'm trying to think, the battery was not fully charged. So it might die. And then they're going to come down here and ask me for an applesauce or something that, you know, they can probably get themselves. But that's just like a unique little thing that you have to deal with when you have kids. And I will say for sure, and there's no debate of this. I mean, unless the primary, you know, person that's staying at home is the father, it's still very much, you know, my wife does way more with our kids, and usually, you know, the wife in the relationship, the mom handles most of that, you know, and it is hard. So, and especially with something as stringent of a schedule as physical therapy, where you have to be, you know, in the office, that's very challenging, because it's not like you can work remotely. You know, if your husband has an IT job or something like that, like, yeah, maybe they can work remotely and hang out with the kids while they're sick and maybe not be all that productive, but you know, they don't have to reschedule eight people or more if you work in an in-network practice. So, I think it's great. I think the other thing, you know, that would be a really cool addition to that, not just the brick and mortar business, but the digital side of things. Like, you know, we do a lot with individualized programming, and we have group program that we do for our practice. And what I think is so cool about that is that literally it is a lot of work, just like any job, but you can do it from anywhere. And, you know, the development of multiple revenue streams, in my opinion, you know, is just so important for consistency and, you know, having safety in your revenue streams for your family. Because, yeah, if you get hit by a bus, you can't see patients. But if you have other things going on and you can, you know, I don't know, type away at something and while you're in the hospital, like you still have another revenue stream. So I think that group's great, man. If you guys are interested in that, it's just PT Mompreneurs in Facebook. They search for that, correct?
Yep, exactly. Right. And digital, honestly, I'm interested watching you and some other people where those products go, because, you know, exactly like you said, you can be anywhere doing anything. And the beauty of that is the kids can be in bed and you can work on things like that. And
totally. It's not just that, but like, here's the thing. You have a unique skill set. Okay. Like Liam Neeson in, what's that, Taken? Like, you're that guy. But with women's health. Okay. So you have this knowledge base that you developed over a long, long period of time. And there's already women in the pelvic floor space that are already doing things like
this. Yep.
And being able to they call productizing your service or productizing your information into something that people can digest and gain information from is a huge way to leverage that in a manner where it's very difficult to set up initially, but once you get that set up, the management of it is really not all, it's really not all that difficult. And the ability to leverage your time is pretty significant once you get that in place. And I think the one thing that PTs think about too much is, oh, I got to do a CU based course and I got to teach a certification. Right. Like, listen, no one gives a fuck about that stuff if they're learning something that they're actually going to benefit from.
Right.
You know, we do CUs because we have to, but man, trust me, if I'm doing learn something that I can either get an ROI on or improve my skill set, like I could care less. And if you can house that digitally, like that's a great place for you to look at eventually moving to with all the little things that you like to do.
Yep. No, I totally agree. And I also think there's so much opportunity to have a greater impact on our patient community. Because, you know, I'm just me. I my patients get mad when they have to sit on a wait list and, you know, it takes, you know, 6 weeks to come in and get an evaluation or something like that. You know, there's certain things that are staples to what I do with everybody. Is there a way to at least start to get that information out so that people can start to get on their way? And then the ones that actually do need to be here, we start to really focus on those people that really need to be here. So.
Perfect. Love it. So Carrie, real quick before we let you go, where can people find out more about you and your practice and connect with you if they're interested in doing so?
Sure. So the website for my practice, it's very original. It's Carrie Pagliano Physical Therapy. The website is carriepagliano.com. I'm on Instagram at Carrie Pagliano. And I'm on Twitter at CJ_PaglianoPT. And Facebook is Carrie Pagliano Physical Therapy. So trying to make it super simple.
Easy. Just Google search Carrie Pagliano. You probably come with all that stuff.
Exactly.
That's so good. That's the best way to do it. Well, Carrie, thank you so much for jumping on the podcast. This was a lot of fun. We'll get together in DC sometimes. My kids love DC. The museums, they love them. I'm sure we'll make a trip up there pretty soon.
They're great. Well, my husband went to Emory, so we might be down soon for a reunion or something like that. So we'll come visit Lauren.
Yeah, absolutely. that'll be a blast. That would be a ton of fun. So again, hey, thanks so much for coming on. And guys, thank you so much for listening to this podcast.
Hey, real quick before we go, I just want to say thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I'm overwhelmed with how many positive reviews we've had on iTunes so far, and we have over 100 reviews currently, and just in the last 9 months of starting this practice. The other area I'm really proud of is our PT Entrepreneurs Facebook group. If you want to get involved in the conversation and not just listen to me talk to you and our guests about what's working in our businesses currently, head over to Facebook and join the PT Entrepreneurs Facebook group. It's really simple. We'd love to have you in the community, and there's so much you can learn from everybody that's in there. I can't wait to see you there. Thanks so much for listening.